What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About, the podcast that is willing to climb all 2,700 feet of the Burj Khalifa in order to really find out what makes a particular topic so great. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the bloody hell are you?
Very well, Terry, very well. And you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Now, you may have noticed in my intro, Andy, there was a vague and oblique reference to the fact that we will be covering the fourth installment of the Mission Impossible franchise, Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol today.
Nice.
Directed by Brad Bird, starring one and only Tom Cruise. So amazing. I'll save it.
Okay. I will say on the record that I have seen this one.
Did you watch Mission Impossible 3?
No, but...
Shocker.
And I only watched Ghost Protocol last night.
I text you being like, do you need the link?
You knew.
Yeah.
But I noticed that Mission Impossible 3 is as of like yesterday on 4.
You know why that is?
Why?
Because they showed it on Film 4 Saturday night.
Oh,
I was like flicking through...
Fuck.
And I was like, I wonder if that's on the player now. And it's like, coming soon,
yeah.
I'm saying on the player.
And although it said, whatever it was, Sunday, and I was looking at it on Sunday, and I wasn't there.
Come on.
So,
come on.
So I have it down to watch it, because I do want to see it. I will have it watched by the end of the series, I'll tell you that.
Sure, I believe you. Right, folks? Do we believe him?
Is Elvia being more important?
I'm pretty good, yeah. You know. January, I'm well into the swing of January now, you know.
How do you mean? Just the routine back?
I just mean I feel normal again.
Oh, right.
You know?
Do you mean, like, are you exercising?
A little bit, but, like, just in general, I feel like December... December is a real, like, crunch month. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yes, I know. You
feel like your head is in a vice almost.
Yeah.
And now, I never thought I'd be saying this, but now, January is such a nice month. Considering yesterday is, like, I don't know where they get the metrics for this, but, like, officially the most depressing day of the year, the Blue Monday thing.
Ah, okay. Is that, like, a deliberate, like, the third Monday in January?
I think it is
that, like
that, yeah. So I don't know where... they get it from. Well, I don't want to know if it's some sort of...
The second Monday in Jan is bluer than the third. Like, you're kind of just getting back into it.
That's what I mean. Like, I feel this week I'm like, ah.
Yeah.
I could not do
like
anything.
Mr. Burns when he has the sip of coffee. Yeah. We need some action around here.
Ooh.
I do normally find, I have to say, maybe I just managed my money better this year, but like...
I'm broke. I'm flat broke.
Oh, I mean, I'm also broke, but I'm at least not in a deficit,
yeah.
Which is what I would normally be.
Flat broke, and I do it in style.
Like, January is usually just the clawing back whatever extras that I needed for Christmas. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like pure, like, bills.
Thankfully, like, the way the paycheck... Now, you get yours week to week, you son of a bitch. Mine is,
I
like...
I mean, you're no offense, you're the oddity. You realize
that,
right?
No,
yeah.
I'm not. That's standard, my friend.
No.
Yeah.
In this
we're not working in Centra anymore, man. Like,
folks,
it's
at
a
home,
salary. It's not
comment
a
comment on
it's
this.
Not a wage. It's not a... It's a salary.
Yeah, but I'm on a salary.
Yeah, you're
it's
on a
broken
you're
down
on
weekly.
A, yeah.
It's barbaric that you're paid once a month.
Hey, you're telling me.
What do they actually have to gain from it? They don't make any extra money for off doing that, do they?
No, but they
just give it to you. Break
no,
it
because
into
they
four.
Don't. They probably don't have it until like the end of the month.
That is bollocks.
I mean, we're a multi-million euro company. I don't know what we are. Like, not for
entity?
Entity.
Organization.
Entity is good. Yes. Wait till we get to Mission Impossible 7. You'll hear that word a lot.
How does he tie it all back?
But yeah, I think that's how it works. That it's like, we need to have enough sales. This is my job. I, you know, generate the invoices so we can submit them to the insurer and get money in so then we can pay people. I'm very tempted when people are like, you're up there in finance, you know, and I'm like, without the finance department, you don't get paid.
Is that why your month end is so...
Yeah.
Stressful. It's like, we gotta get paid here.
Year end. We're still doing year end at the moment. I'm like, I feel like a lot of times, like, Like, I'm taken for granted. Not me personally, but
I think
I know. Hey, I know you. hey.
You don't have to say.
Yeah, fam. Huh?
Blood. I think I still have an outstanding bill for you. Although it's the other one.
Oh well, don't look at me. Don't pay them either.
No.
What is it? One of those levies?
I don't know, but
80 quid
to go for something to do with her foot, and no, it was like 100 quid. I think I owe Temple Street 100 quid. Someone's followed me up for it.
Like, you shouldn't, if you're going public, you shouldn't be paying. If you get a referral from your GP, you should not be paying for anything public.
I don't know if we got a referral for when I took Joni to Temple Street, but.
But Joni, I mean, you shouldn't be paying for kids' stuff either.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And then Kerry's
if,
one,
if it's one of those levies, don't pay it.
I don't know what that means.
So it's like, when you come to get anything done, it's like an 80 euro levy, right?
Yeah, something like that, or 100.
Yeah, it might have been, well, it should be 80, but like. They've gotten rid of them now. It's a government levy. And like, I remember talking to somebody in my work, and I was like, because we had to raise a bunch of them when we were at public hospitals during COVID. All and she's right. like, nobody pays them. And
it's like,
and to be honest, it's not a good look if we start sending out solicitors' letters to these people. Like, so, you know, we just, you know, we'll send it out. If they pay it, great. If not, we're not chasing them down.
How mad is that? That it's like,
yeah, you can just afford it. And suckers like us be like, oh, we better pay it.
It just shows.
Except you don't, but
that
still.
Like, it's like the thing with Irish water. It's like, if enough people go, well, we're not doing that, then the government would be like, all right. You know?
The Irish water thing was just like, so I was sweet. So satisfying. And like, there was a couple people at work who paid. I'm like, what did you pay it for?
I know. It was the same.
And then they were like, well, you have to. I'm like, no. Like, yeah. It's like, good luck getting your money back. And yeah. They're like, oh, no.
Do you know what? The problem with Irish water for me was that it was like, they came in so strong. And like, the narrative was just that like, nope, that's just it. And you're going to have to pay it. Like it or lump it. You know, sort of thing. And then enough people were like,
lump
no.
it, please. Yeah. What?
Yeah, that's exactly what
it's like. One of them, I remember there was a clip was like, water doesn't fall from the sky. And like, somebody's like, that's exactly what it does.
That's literally where it comes from. Yeah, it's like those like TV license ads where it's just like it's the smile in your face and fuck you. It's like, it's just one of the terms and conditions of life in Ireland.
It's like, so what am I paying for here?
Fuck off.
What am I paying for here? I don't get RTE.
Yeah.
I get the fucking player.
It's like they just decide.
Yeah.
Televisions.
Yes.
You're not allowed to have a television unless you pay us.
Even if you don't own a television, if you have a screen.
Yeah.
Why don't you give me some money too, huh?
Okay, I don't have a screen. Glasses. If you wear glasses.
You can see the world. Eyes. Give me those eyes.
It's like, why isn't there a toaster tax? Yeah. Why isn't there a kettle
Stop
tax?
Giving them ideas. Like,
it's just as ludicrous.
Just somebody with a big pair of like cans
in a white van outside.
Like, toaster tax. Kettle tax. Ooh, kettle tax.
Oh yes. Very good. Yeah, very good.
That's what we do.
We have fun, huh?
Hey, I watched some stuff.
Spit take. Yeah, go on.
I watched something that like I think you would love it. I don't know if you'll ever watch it. It's animated.
Good start.
Animated, right? It's called Scavenger's Reign.
Okay.
Here's the premise. It literally starts with these guys on like a spaceship.
Okay.
Like
good start.
Like it's like some sort of industrial ship and they're looking out and he's like, number 226 didn't check in. And he's like, did you try them again? Like, I've tried them 5 times. Like, oh. He's like, well, I hope they're not like broken down or lost. And he's like, yeah, that'd be terrible. And then it like cuts to this planet. And you see like a pod on the planet. And it jumps around to like 5 different pods. Oh. And it's like the ship has crashed on this weird. I was like, is this supposed to be Earth? Because I was getting big after Earth vibes. Only good. Hey. And I tell you, Andy, this is one of the best things I've watched all year, but in the past in the past 12 months, we'll say, and like, now, in terms of TV show.
Can I ask you, what's the animation style?
It's kind of like anime.
Oh.
But it's like, so it looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, looks absolutely fabulous. Like, because the surroundings are so unique. And everything is, everywhere you go, it's something different. And it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, look at that plant. Doesn't that look nice? Like, poof.
Yeah.
Star my skin. Right,
right. No, like, it's a comedy, right?
No.
Oh.
It's like adventure.
And what's it on?
I watch it on my phone.
Yeah, but what's it
on? It's
on
HBO Max. But like, I think you would absolutely love it.
I probably would, but like, when is someone going to make it easy?
I don't know.
Schlubs like me. Well, it's to not watch like, HBO
all, all you do is you sit in your Netflix bubble.
I hate Netflix. I'm dying to get out of the bubble. Netflix is shy.
Here's something that happened to me over Christmas.
Yeah.
My son, apple of my eye, Gus, he cancelled my Netflix.
How did that happen?
One day I was like,
he did you a favor.
Yeah. One day I was like, my Netflix app was like, sign up for us. And I was like, I don't remember. I was like, did we get hacked? And then I was asking Faye, I was like, did something happen with the Netflix? And she's like, oh, Gus did something with the remote and then I couldn't get back in. So I think he like cancelled it.
I didn't even think that was possible.
I think you can like cancel yours.
Through your TV?
Yeah.
Wow.
So now it's like, because I was like, I don't have a profile written on it anymore. So I'm like, I don't want to go back.
Oh, so and you're out?
I'm out, baby, and I'm loving it.
That's great. I'm actually, you know,
just
that's what I like, like to do.
Could we both say, like, do you miss it? I'm like, not at all.
No. Well, see, the only thing I would miss it for would be my night viewing. I watch
Sleepy Time.
Yeah, I watch a lot of, like, easy shows. I watch, like, Always Sunny and Rick and Morty quite a lot. Seinfeld is there. Like, it's a good sort of just watching nothing sort of TV.
It's like a sleep machine, yeah. You know, yeah. What I mean, like a white noise.
And lately here's how, now this is probably not healthy at all, I'm in bed. Oh, my voice got weird.
That does not sound healthy, Andy.
I'm in bed and I'm sleeping with my glasses on because, well, I'm just watching TV.
Yeah.
But then I doze. Yeah. And then when I wake up at like 2 a.m.
oh,
like,
yeah,
I just love
been
that
there,
feeling.
Amigo.
Like, get up, turn off the TV, turn over. Mm. There's something
I will tell you, it's like a secret time. Mm. And I will tell you, like, one of my favorite memories, sorry to cut across.
No, no.
One of my favorite memories ever of me, like, being younger.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say younger, I mean like early 20s.
Of course.
So like 15 years ago.
Of course.
I remember like coming home from a shift in Central. I'd been up like late the night before. Came home. Rolled a joint, smoked it, went straight to bed. It's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Stuck on Peep Show
on
my laptop. Fell asleep. Woke up at like 3 a.m. Everyone else in the house asleep. So like I slept for like a good 11 hours.
Day hours
And I was like not in work the next day.
Oh,
so I was like,
dream.
Went downstairs, like made some food at like 3 a.m, house to myself. Like then like rolled another joint.
Yes.
Like smoked it, back to bed about 5, I'd say. Slept till like 11, and then I was like, ugh.
That is a well rested.
But I just always have this memory of like this little secret hour for myself downstairs where nobody knows what I'm doing.
I love pottering around the house at 2 a.m. and but now I can't fight the overriding sense of like gotta get to bed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. If I could just get rid of that annoying little. Little thing. I
you
love
got responsibilities, man.
Yeah, I know. Stupid responsibilities.
Every night, I'm the last one to bed every night.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, after 12, I'm like, really should be in bed. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing something wrong. I'm like, not doing something wrong, but like, I'm going to regret this.
Yeah.
I live to regret this.
It's like Night Guy.
Yeah.
Damn it, I hate Night Guy.
He's having a great time.
Yeah. Morning Guy is the one with the problem.
I wake up and then I'm in. I'm everybody's problem the next day then.
But I love falling asleep where like I'm fighting I'm trying to watch the TV and I can't keep my eyes open. I love falling asleep like that. And I know you're not supposed to sleep with a screen or even have a screen in bed and all this, but I fucking love it. To quote your boy. What's his name? Succession. He's part of that meme that's always gone around. The main guy, Brian Cox, is that his name?
Yeah.
I fucking love it here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the
thing. I don't want to spoil it for you.
I don't care.
Yeah, or the people out there, but it's like,
oh, okay,
one of his last episodes, and it's like, his big thing is like, fuck off.
Yeah. But
could have been anybody we were saying that. Like, I
thought it was so obvious.
I fucking love it. Brian Cox needs a bit of work.
Hold on. Now, Can I ask you a question? This is driving me mad. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kerry thinks I'm going mad here, right? Is it just me, or are you noticing a lot of Brian Cox soundalikes for promoting things? On like,
he does a lot of them himself, though. Like, he does like Virgin Media.
That's not him.
It is him.
Is it though?
It is him.
I thought it was someone. No, trying to sound
he
like
just
him.
Loves money. He's done like, he's doing a fucking promotional video for Tekken 8. Like,
no way.
Like, he did a thing. He did a thing on Prime Video for like the hunt for the new James Bond. Because like, oh, I thought they were offering me a role in the James Bond movie, and then it was like
just the commercial.
It was like a TV show, and he's like. And then I didn't want to get out of it because the money they were paying me was too good. So I just did it.
This whole time I thought, geez, people are really shameless. They have someone doing a Brian Cox impression to try and get people to give it a bit more legitimacy.
And he's done like someone for Sky and all. Like,
fucking hell. Yeah. Well, now I feel stupid.
I mean, I didn't get your bag, Brian. Like, you know?
Hell yeah.
Hey.
Okay, here, go on, yeah.
No, you go.
I was going to do a Brian Cox
impression. Oh, yeah, please. Okay.
Give me a line to say. Just pick.
You're not serious, people.
Oh, okay. Okay. You're not serious, people. No.
Sorry, did Al Pacino just walk in there?
You're not serious, people. Oh, you're not serious. No, I can't.
What are you going to do about it, huh? Motherfucker?
Isn't that asshole?
Oh, whatever.
Yes. Got you. You fucking got him. What are you going to do about it, asshole?
Better. Yeah. Better.
Oh, what the fuck are you going to do about it?
No, I lost it.
Show me what you got.
That L? That's Heat. Yeah.
You got a great ass. Yeah, that's and it. You got your head up in it. You should just do this.
Yeah.
Anything else to discuss before we...
I want to talk because I watched a Netflix movie, and I think it merits discussion just because of all the stuff that's going on with the Oscars and the Golden Globes and all that. I watched Maestro.
What's that about?
It's about Leonard Bernstein, or Steen, I don't know.
Oh.
He is the classical composer, did the musical West Side Story, and basically like the most famous conductor
in
America.
Yeah, I've heard the name, yeah. Okay.
It's Bradley Cooper. Playing him, directing the movie.
Oh.
Produced by Steven Spielberg, produced by Martin Scorsese. It's fucking deadly. Like,
is it?
It's deadly.
On Netflix?
It's on Netflix. Netflix movie.
Oh.
He took...
Bet you it's long, isn't it?
It's an hour 55 before credits. I think it's like 2:05. Because I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to fit it in for my end of year watching, blah, blah, blah. And then I looked at it. Because I had in my head, it's like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Another 3 hour... biopic blockbuster or whatever, like 2:05. I was like, woohoo! And then at the end, I was like, it's 1:55. And
you're in, you're out.
Here's an unpopular opinion: puts in a better performance than Cillian Murphy, in my opinion, anyway.
He's in. Cillian Murphy's in it?
No, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer.
Okay.
The three front runners for the Oscar are Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, Bradley Cooper for Maestro, although he seems to have fallen down the pecking order. And Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. Fingers crossed.
You want Giamatti?
So much. Imagine.
I'm trying to do a Giamatti impression. Okay.
I'll give my Giamatti. Ready?
Yeah. Okay, you go first.
You goddamn motherfuckers. WNBC.
You fucking waltz in here and you think you're gonna. No, fuck. You fucking waltz in here. I can't do it. Fuck, I'm great in the car. I tell you, I'm fucking great in the car, but now with these hot lights on me, I can't do it.
Oh well.
Fuck, your impressions are very good, I will say.
Thank you.
Not so much today, but in general.
Excuse me. Bradley Cooper, I'll give my Bradley Cooper in Maestro. He talks like this, and can you believe? It's more of a Woody Allen. I'm actually going in there. Can you believe it, Sun Yi? But Maestro is really, like, it's there on Netflix. If people are listening, I recommend you watch it. Great direction in it. That's kind of what I think you might like it, to be honest. Like, because it's not so much about the music, it's more about like him as a person. Right. He was a gay man that like got married and like had kids, and it kind of like the early part of it's in black and white, and then when it kind of gets into like the 50s and 60s or whatever, it goes to color. And then it kind of like examines his relationship with his wife and as he gets older and stuff. And like, there's just like, there's this way he moves the camera. I don't think I've seen anything like it where at the start it's front and center. Everything is like, these are the characters and you're in a movie. And then like in the second half of the movie, when the characters start to drift apart a little bit, it's almost like he places the camera as if you're like sneaking into a party and the camera is like filming stuff. Because it's like, it's set up that like, they're over there in the corner and the table is center frame and you're just kind of picking up what's going on there. It's kind of like, you're a voyeur almost. Ooh, you're an Arsene Wenger of the...
Arsene Wenger?
Yeah, he's a voyeur.
Is he?
No, I don't remember Mourinho.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm praying. I'm praying he comes back to Newcastle.
That'd be great. Yeah.
Well, come back to the Premier League to Newcastle.
That'd be fucking brilliant. I'd love that.
Sack out. Get him out of there.
Yeah.
Little lady.
And Tyndall. And there's a little dog, too. Oh, very good.
Well, do you know what else had a little dog?
Yeah?
No, they didn't have one in this movie. Anyway, let's get into Mission Impossible.
Excellent.
Ghost Protocol.
An hour ago, a bomb blew up the Kremlin. The president has initiated Ghost Protocol. The entire IMF has been disavowed. Now I've been ordered to take you to Washington, where they will hang the Kremlin bombing on you and your team, unless you were to escape after assaulting Brandt and me. But if any one of your team is caught, they will be branded terrorists out to incite global nuclear war.
So what happens now?
Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Okay, now remember, blue is glue.
And when it's red?
Dead.
You're not gonna make it!
You're not helping.
That was the trailer for 2011's Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. I say 2011 because it was released the week of Christmas.
Wow.
2011.
That's
December.
Pretty strange, isn't it? For a big blockbuster? Or was it a big blockbuster?
Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Care to guess the budget, Andy?
Would you happen to have three's budget?
150 million.
Wow. The fact that you can just reel that off.
I mean, we were talking about it last week.
Yeah, but still, it's like, may as well be 10 years ago in my mind.
It's been 50 years.
I would say 130.
145.
Okay.
So you're 0.5 away from getting the point there.
Okay.
Box office opening. Now.
Here we go.
Limited. How about this? We'll do two. I'm going to give you an extra chance here, right?
Okay.
Because it opened one weekend in IMAX screens only.
Right.
So what do you think it made for just IMAX screens for its opening weekend? And there's not a huge amount of IMAX screens around.
5 million?
13 million.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so proper wide release opening weekend.
Domestic?
Domestic, yeah.
62 million.
61!
Oh, he's back!
He's
baby.
Back!
Choke on that, baby!
Domestic?
Wasn't that domestic?
No, domestic total.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. 61. Somebody's taking a bet on this one.
I would say 280 million.
209.
You thought I was going to say 208, didn't you?
I actually did. I was like,
like that motherfucker.
Worldwide. Now I know you're not going to get this one.
635. 694. It's not bad.
I mean, it's not right.
No, but it's pretty good.
Let me tell you what Mission Impossible 3 made.
Yes, please.
Worldwide total?
Mm-hmm.
398.
And this one was 694. Wow. Double. Pretty much.
I mean, 300 on top, but yeah. Pretty good, right?
Wow.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Critics?
Yeah.
83.
93. Whoa. Audience?
84.
76. So you got one.
Yeah.
Well, now, here's another bonus chance for you. Strap in. Care to guess Ving Rhames' salary for his appearance in
for
this movie?
For his 10-second cameo?
2 days, apparently, on set.
2 days? Takes him 2 days to get that?
Takes him 2 days to get out of his chair.
It was noticeable how ridiculously shoehorned in his appearance was. I mean, $1 million? Is that insane?
Get ready.
Go on.
$7.7 million.
Are you shitting me? He was on screen for like literally a minute.
Yeah,
like, literally, he was as good as a transition. He was literally started there. Cruz is just finishing up his conversation with him as his new team.
TC
in.
Looks after his buddies.
Whoa.
$7.7 million. I remember thinking in my head it was $4 million. So when I read it this time around, I was like, holy fuck.
That's got to be the most.
Yeah, I think it is actually the most for per screen time. Like,
yeah. Fucking hell.
Imagine getting that call.
He wasn't even needed in the movie. It's not like
you gotta have Luther.
You don't.
You're gonna need him for the next three.
That's fine, but like if he's not in this, he didn't need, like, I didn't really, well,
you gotta tie him back in.
Yeah,
I noticed this time I was like, he's on the phone to people.
Yeah.
I'm like, is he on the phone to Luther?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, you'd wonder. Mm. Wow, though.
Fucking and wow. I think it was very much that it was like, yeah, that last minute decision. Let's do it. Like, let's get him in there. Because I remember when I went to see it, I was like, oh, I couldn't have missed him. And then, like,
yeah,
when he showed up at the end, I was like, yeah, there he is.
That's what they paid that money for that reaction.
Absolutely. From me. From that one guy.
So you're left with a nice sort of positive, yo, at the end.
Now, you want some interesting facts?
Please.
This is the movie that is credited with saving Tom Cruise's career.
Wow.
You want to do a bit of a rundown on his, like...
Yes.
Since Mission Impossible 3,
yeah,
he made Lions for Lambs.
Wow. Never even heard of it.
It's him, it's Robert Redford, and I can't remember who else. But it was like a war, Iraq war, like Oscar bait movie. And I remember thinking when it came out, like, maybe this is the one that gets him the Oscar. He's there, yeah, at Redford. Like, and it's like, wah, wah.
Has he ever even been nominated for an Oscar?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Okay.
Three? Four?
He should really win, shouldn't he?
I mean, he was nominated for Magnolia, which he didn't win for Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Nominated for Jerry Maguire, which he didn't win for. And he was nominated for Born on the 4th of July,
right,
which he lost to Daniel Day-Lewis in My Left Foot. You know?
Fair enough.
Yeah, no shame.
Yeah, no shame in listening to him.
Yeah, but he hasn't been nominated, I don't think. He was nominated as a producer for Top Gun Maverick for Best Picture, but as a leading actor...
Well, crime against cinema, if you ask me.
Get him back. I thought he might have snuck a nomination last year for Maverick.
Yeah.
And we'll get to it one of the days, but...
Until then.
Okay, so after Lions for Lambs, it's Tropic Thunder...
Yeah, that was,
which is sort of like an image rehab look. He can kind of,
yeah,
have a, like, because I remember this time, like,
he loves dressing up, doesn't he?
But like, people are like, Tom Cruise is weird. And this is like, people are like, what's going on with him? What, like, he's, nobody really likes him at this period.
Right.
He's like, he's too much of a weirdo.
Yeah.
And he is a weirdo, but like,
yeah, but he's always been a weirdo.
But like, people now are like,
it's like the social media age came to.
Well, that,
you know what I mean?
Like, and coincided with like his new career, like, path of like, I'm gonna kill myself for movies.
Yeah,
and people are like, we love him. Yeah,
I know.
After Tropic Thunder, it's Valkyrie.
Oh yeah, that did all right, didn't it?
Yeah,
I think I watched a bit of that, and then
it's again another kind of Oscar baity one, but yeah, it's a pivotal turning point in his life, in that he meets Christopher McQuarrie, who's the writer of Valkyrie.
Right.
And gets very involved in the Mission Impossible series. We'll talk about it.
Oh, cool.
And then Night and Day in 2010.
Oh, yeah.
Now, get this. He wasn't even first choice for the movie. He got that movie after Chris Tucker dropped out.
What?
What?
And apparently he was auditioning for like movies. He auditioned for like Salt. He auditioned for a couple of other spy movies. I'm like, Tom Cruise auditioning?
Doesn't audition.
Apparently then he did.
You get down on your hands and knees and you kiss the ground this, he walks on.
This is where it was like at the time. Because wow.
That's bad like, for him.
Yeah, like I mean, anecdotally, the whole... Now, I couldn't find any of this here, but I remember hearing about people talking about it, and I heard about it on podcasts, people saying that, like, the whole thing with this movie is he's coming back. He really pushed hard for this
right.
to get them to do a fourth one because it's, like, right. his thing. And he'd taken a salary cut on three
okay.
to get that over the line after all the shite that had happened there.
Right.
So it was like, he wanted this one. Paramount had kind of, like... They greenlit it, but they delayed... It was greenlit to go in 2009, and then they delayed it because basically Tom Cruise's weird behavior, all the stuff going on with Katie Holmes, and is she a prisoner in that house? This weird stuff that was like... They're like, I don't know, we kind of can't release this movie now.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was, he's supposed to come back and then like usher in a new guy taking over, which is Jeremy Renner. In this movie. Renner is supposed to be the lead of this franchise going forward.
Huh.
Yeah. Which does not happen.
Plenty to say about that.
Yeah. J.J. Abrams had signed on to direct again. However, the production delays met with his busy schedule, meaning that he could not do it. But he stayed on as a producer. I don't know if you saw that little Bad Robot thing at the start.
I saw Bad Robot, yeah.
Yeah, that's his company, yeah. Because they were lost.
Bad Robot.
What?
Isn't that thing?
Does it say it at the end?
No, isn't that... With their little production, you know, little Bad Robot.
Does it say?
No, but that isn't that just what it is?
Oh, you just come up with that voice yourself?
No, that's the thing, isn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Did they say the voice? Like, did they use
they
that?
They don't. I didn't notice it in the movie, but I've seen
Bad as in Robot. Like, as in the production, the card has a voice.
I saw a Bad Robot. I didn't hear the voice, but that is the voice, right?
I don't know. You're telling me that there's this voice.
Bad Robot. I've seen Bad Robot on other things.
Yeah.
And there's a voice on that. Bad Robot.
I feel like I'm losing my mind on this conversation here. Like, what are we talking about?
It's a thing.
Yeah.
The other way it's
a
like,
title. It's a production card. And you're saying, when I don't think it does now. Maybe it did
back in the day. Yeah. Unless it's some other robot
thing. No, it kind of sounds like it could be right, but like the last few times I've seen it, I've never heard a voice.
No, I haven't either, but I was just saying of the same. I mean,
okay. Josh Applebaum and Andre Nemec were hired to write the script initially. These guys both worked on Alias, so you know that
he's obsessed.
Well, I think, you know, JJ probably had a hand in getting this. He's like, I'll get a couple of guys to write you a good script, Tommy.
Okay.
And then...
we'll get you back on your feet in no time.
I'm directing the new Star Wars. Bruce Geller came aboard to do some rewrites later in the process. However, the big connection that happened was Christopher McQuarrie did an uncredited rewrite during filming. Apparently, he came on board and was like, No, you can't get rid of the pie. The pie is your heart. They're basically saying, you can't get rid of Ethan Hunt. He's the guy, we need to change all this. And he'd said that, like, he wanted to give it clarity, make it simpler. But also, he's like, there was certain stuff shot. So I was like, I couldn't change that.
Mm.
But thankfully, there was, like...
enough wiggle room.
Yeah, he said, it's like reaching into a sock and pulling it inside out. It's still a sock, but the same pieces are in different order.
Now, that is a terrible analogy.
I kind of like it.
I know. You could say it's like, messing up a jigsaw or something. Like, that's like dropping a jigsaw
is very specific.
Yeah, but the pieces are all there. They're just not in the right order.
But the pieces don't go together if they don't go in the right place. Like,
he found an unfinished jigsaw and he finished it.
Okay, yeah, maybe that's better. But like,
thank you.
That's not what you said. How about this? How about this for a fact?
Yeah, go on.
Since this film, McQuarrie has written 7 movies for Tom Cruise.
Wow.
He's literally, like, every movie that he's worked on.
Wow.
McQuarrie has been...
So he single-handedly rejuvenated Tom Cruise's
Tom career. Cruise has glommed onto this guy. He has directed 3 Mission Impossible movies since then. Basically, he says he's only, like... And he wrote Top Gun Maverick and Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, like... If
these are all big hits for him.
Yeah, like, they're...
And to do with Oblivion?
I don't think he had anything to do with Oblivion.
What a fucking movie that is.
There's this weird thing, because after this, it is like Jack Reacher, Oblivion, Edge of Tomorrow. And you're like, oh, like he's like
action man, action star. Yeah.
And like at the time, I was like, why is he making Oblivion? And now I'm like, fucking, give me somebody making a movie that looks as good as Oblivion.
Yes,
like,
Terry.
I'm like,
fucking great movie.
And I think the guy who directed Oblivion directed Top Gun Maverick.
Ah.
Yeah. So
he keeps his friends close.
Absolutely. He has a certain... He's like, remember we talked about like in this series, because like he's like handpicking directors. And like now, after getting back on top, he's like, no, no, I work with my guys. Yeah. They're my guys. We're together.
It's like when a new manager comes in and he brings his team.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Very good.
Brad Bird of The Incredibles fame
and
Ratatouille was hired to direct and given total creative freedom, apparently. Abrams told
him...
you can tell. Parts of this movie is like a cartoon and I'm like, oh, that's Brad Bird. Okay. Like, that's The Incredibles. Like,
okay.
J.J. Abrams told them they had incredible ideas for set pieces, but they didn't know where to go or how to film. And the studio apparently told them, think of anything you want to see in a spy movie and go for it. And he said he had five bits that he wanted to see, and they all made it into the movie.
Wow.
Also, the idea of all the tech malfunctioning was his idea, because he was like, you never see that in a movie.
I like that.
That, like, and literally everything. It's kind of like moving away from MI3.
Yeah, where everything's all slick. And
yeah, it's kind of like this is a bit like janky and stuff like
that.
None of the cast had any stunt doubles for the Burj Khalifa sequence. Obviously, we know Tom Cruise like climbed it or whatever that, but like that scene where the windows open, like that, they're all...
Whoa.
I'd be shitting myself.
So much. Like I assume they had some sort of wires.
Yeah, well, he had wires... In, like when he was doing all
but they
stuff.
Surely did even being
I guess so like but yeah, I was just yeah. like just the idea of being near that window
no it's like, it's so high it's, that you just
when you see it I'm like
you get that like zoom in look, you know?
Terry, you okay? I'm in the pursuit of happiness. Why'd I drink so much? Why'd I smoke so much? The room's spinning. 119 stories high.
Well,
originally, the movie was going to end with Cruz taking over as the IMF secretary, which you can kind of see where he's like, your mission, choose to accept.
Yeah.
And Jeremy Renner becoming the main star. However, test screenings were so good, inspired the filmmakers to leave it a bit more ambiguous. And in the box office result, well, it sealed the deal. TC was here to stay.
Very good. That was very, very good. Very informative.
Thank you.
I like that.
The great thing about this series is there's loads of shit. Like,
good.
Yeah, because the way they make these, like the opening with Sawyer was not the opening. And it was like, Macquarie kind of does this where he's like, why don't we move this from the script here and flip it all around? And now that's where you're talking about a jigsaw.
Yeah, and there you go.
And it works like that. It works. But what? Tell me, what do you think about it?
Oh, okay. You know, I have to say, overall, I liked it. But I thought this was possibly, after two, the weakest one.
You didn't even watch three.
Yeah, well, out of the ones I've seen.
Yeah.
So,
like, you'll have it like one, this, two?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would even put, from what I've seen of three, I would put three probably
above
this. Now, I liked it. Like, I enjoyed it, and it's definitely the sort of movie that I enjoy watching. I had no problems watching it. But I kind of felt it was lacking. It was lacking in, I thought, the antagonist, if I'm using that word correctly, was a bit of a ghost. Speaking of Ghost Protocol, barely saw him. And barely talked. I think when you go from Philip Seymour, PSH, to this guy, who's, you know, a good actor. I've seen him in loads. I don't know his name. I'm sure you have.
Michael Nyquist.
Yeah, that's it. and I just kind of thought it lacked a proper, like, foe for him. You know what I mean? At the start, I was like, is there a bad guy in this?
And I felt that way first watch.
Right, okay.
When I had my first beer. This time around, I've seen this movie like 5 or 6 times.
5 or 6?
Yeah. Fuck, once in IMAX in Australia, like when it came out, like the sound, like, talk about, like, my teeth, like,
exploding.
I've thought that way for a while, and then this time around it kind of clicked a little bit more for me, where it's like, he's this guy, he's a good actor, you don't need him to be like Cruise's arch nemesis, because it's all about Cruise, it's all about Ethan.
It is, yeah. But I kind of found, and again, I'm only kind of dwelling on this, but I did really like it, but I just kind of thought, like, there's a lot of traveling and all that, which is good.
Great,
which is good. But I was kind of like, it just lacked that. Like, even the other in Mission Impossible 2 and 1, where you just have, like, a proper sort of... It's not that the guy in this one wasn't charismatic. He was, but it was a different kind. But it just, I just felt it was... I felt there was a big... I was like, who's he fucking... Like,
he doesn't have a lot of screen time, I'll give you that. Like, you know?
And I thought... Now, can I ask you a question? Has Jeremy Renner ever been nominated for Best Actor?
He'd been nominated for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor.
He was terrible in this.
Ah, okay. I disagree.
I thought his acting, in particular, was noticeably bad.
I disagree.
Is this before Hurt Locker or after?
This is after, because, like, this is why he's like there. He's going to take over. Hurt Locker, The Town, like, he's fucking cooking. He has the juice. Like,
I was thinking,
you know?
Is this early in his career?
No,
because I've never noticed Jeremy Renner before in that context, but in this, there was a few times where I was like, I can't think of the line, but there was a few.
I tell you, the bit, what I like about him is he's actually, and you pick up on it the more you rewatch this movie.
Sure.
It's like, he's like, wait a minute, like, I'm supposed to be you? I'm supposed to be the new you?
Yeah.
How did you know this is going to happen? He's like, I just do it. And he's like, oh. He's like, you getting ready to jump? He's like, yeah, getting ready to jump. He's like, you better jump. He's like, yeah, getting ready to jump. Yeah. It's like, oh, like, he is in, like, he's never going to be Ethan.
Yeah,
that's his performance that he's given in it.
I like that character trait.
I'll tell you where it's bad, that doesn't land for me, is when he's like, I was in Croatia and I was hired to follow a husband and a wife.
Yeah,
and that whole thing, like, that, I agree with you.
Mm.
But, like, the, like, I, like, the bit, it still gives me, like, there you go, there, where he's like, Hunt, like, tries to, like, pull a gun on him, and the two of them, like, and he's like, we all have our secrets, and I was like, oh, that's the trailer moment. There,
you learn all that and you're still just an analyst or whatever it is.
Let's start at the start, though, right? We're in prison.
I'm gonna be jumping around.
Okay, well, what about Sawyer?
Great. Love him.
How is this guy not a movie star? Like,
yes.
How do we never
make...
He's
gone at all.
Even like...
He's more smolder than man.
there's a bit where it's like... And I picked up on it this time around, where it's like, oh, he's the Ethan while Ethan's been gone.
Yeah.
It's because, like, when they show, like, how he gets killed, or how they do he has his little face scanner in his eye. He's like, it's now or never, Bobcat. Come on. You're like, that's kind of something Ethan would say. You know?
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, it works... The mission goes to plan until it doesn't. But, I was like, oh, it's a shame that, like, he was never in, like, his TV shows after Lost.
Why is that? Do you think he's difficult?
No, I think he might just be a little bit too old. Like, I think in that Community episode, I'm like, fuck, man. Like, he's so good in that Community episode where he's, like, the writer or whatever in the paintball. And, like, it just never happened for him. I think he made bad choices to follow up Lost.
Yeah.
And he was never going to be a leading man, but, like, you could have seen him, like, doing more, like,
could see him in something
roles.
Like Guns, not Guns, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah,
or, you know,
something like that.
I think he's
in Yellowstone, which kind of would fit him as a kind of cowboy guy.
All I want is for him to be getting work and to be compensated
fairly. Yeah.
That's all I want. I like, do you know what?
He has enough. He's good looking enough, all right?
I have to admit, and, like, I watched the first, like, 20 minutes of this with Joni, and I was thinking, like, is there going to be anything? I was like, it was fine.
He might get killed, like, he gets shot, like.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, yeah.
She says, I don't mind. She says, like, well, there's no blood. Yeah. You know, if there's no blood, she doesn't mind.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, you know, she's like, this is. She's like, there is you know, the bit where he like is fallen and he releases that like inflatable thing and lands on it.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it's just like Fortnite. And I was like, what? She's like, that happens in Fortnite. You can throw a thing and you land on it. I'm like, no way. So she was hooked after that. But
where she gets a load of Ethan Hunt's abs.
I know. I was like, that's Tom Cruise right there. And then she's like, who's Tom Cruise? I'm like, that guy right there, Tom Cruise.
That guy doing this to the camera.
Yeah. I loved that. I love all that.
Like the jail breakout is fantastic. Yeah,
it was brilliant.
Dean Martin, you know.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. It's just a fun way to start the movie. Like
the whole, can I jump around?
Yeah.
I loved the big scene, like the big, you know, plot scene. Set pieces is what I'm fucking talking about.
You're welcome.
Thank you. They were great. The Burj Khalifa thing was amazing.
I think it's unreal. Like, it's one of my favorite stunts or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you see him, like, climbing. Like, the camera zooms out. I'm like, oh. Like, I
know.
Sick looking at it.
I'm like, what's he putting his feet on? Like, it's all glass. I'm like, he's got his hands, sure.
And that's so good. The tech, like.
That was great.
The gloves. He's like, blue is glue. Once red. Dead. Okay.
Yeah. It's not even acknowledged. Like, okay. I thought Simon Pegg was great. I didn't particularly like the Paula female. Patton? Yeah.
I like her. And I think
I thought it was Meghan Markle at the start. I was like, oh, there she is. I'm like, nope, sorry.
Racist.
She looks from the side profile at the start. I was like, oh, there she is.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think they give her, she doesn't come back. I am surprised. Yeah. But like, they give her a lot of like character beats. And like, her and Ethan, like, he kind of mentors her, being like, you can do this, you know, all the way through. Like, so I'm surprised that they didn't bring her back. But wait till you see who they replace her with.
Oh. I just didn't think she had a lot of charisma. Like, she looked the part and she was good in the, you know, fight scenes and all this sort of stuff. Look, you know, like,
She kicks off her pumps to go fight Lea Seydoux.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. That's very cool.
It was definitely not all bad.
Yeah.
I just kind of thought, I was a bit like, meh, you know, on her character.
Did you like Simon Pegg?
Loved him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great. And he's actually really, a really good actor at that. Like, I noticed a few little things where, like, Tom Cruise is putting the stuff on and you just see him, like, to the side being like, there was something where he was like,
he's lived in almost.
Yeah, like he's not saying any lines, but I'm like, he is really, and it's not overacting. Like, he does his role perfectly, I think. Simon Pegg.
I think, like, the chemistry they have together is brilliant. Like, that whole Kremlin sequence where they're like, you know, he's like, this is so exciting.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is like with the fake nose and like just dead ahead. And then they're doing, fuck it. I love that bit of tech where it's the
wall.
Yeah. It's so great, fucking good. Like, and
they're moving it closer and closer.
It's really like full attention because you're like, oh yeah, there hasn't been a sound in like 5 minutes.
I was thinking, you know? I was turning it up. I was like, should I be hearing things?
Like Tom Cruise, like,
Yeah.
And then, you know, with like him being like, I'm really sorry about your wife, Ethan, you know. And he doesn't say it, really, like, shut the fuck up. Like,
when I turned it on, I had watched the first like half an hour by myself and then I watched the rest for Kerry until she fell asleep. But
was she liking it?
Yeah. And I was
hard
like,
not to.
I was like, when he was in the Kremlin.
Yeah.
With Simon Pegg and he's dressed up, I was like, oh, that's Tom Cruise, by the way. She's like, I actually didn't even notice he was in disguise. I was like, okay, it's one of
those. Because he has like a pronounced nose anyway. Yeah. Like, obviously, it used to be bigger, but like,
it used to be bigger.
Yeah, he had a nose job.
Did he?
Yeah, many times. Look at his face now.
Many times.
Like, yeah, I think so. Like,
oh wait, Michael Jackson.
Look at him in Risky Business. Or The Color of Money, and it's like,
he does have a distinctive nose.
And his teeth. He got his teeth done as well.
Yeah, all the Americans get their teeth done.
Yeah, he needed his kind of done.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, actually, they kind of gave him a bit of character, which is the whole thing, but, you know, that Rain Man smile was not there, you know.
Yeah, he does have a very distinctive, I might even say perfect nose, but At least in this era, or in like for is this, early 2000s.
Is this the best he's looked?
No.
No, you think two?
Yeah, he looked fucking good in two.
I think he looked fucking good in this, though. Like, you
he
know,
he looks amazing.
Like, he's in his 50s.
Is he?
Yeah.
In this?
He's like 51 or 52, well, yeah. Like, you know.
When he's on the window ledge, he's fucking shredded.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, shouldn't look like that. And you know what he has mastered? It's like, so, like, your man, first of all, it's great where your man is like, go ahead. Like,
yeah.
Jump.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, think this is a good idea. He's like, seemed like it a minute ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, the truck comes and he does the belt. And, like,
brilliant.
When he bounces off the top of the truck.
Yeah.
And then he's like, lands on the ground and he's like, oh, shit, I'm alive.
Yeah.
Like, he's become such a good, like, physical comedy actor.
Yeah.
Like, these little facial expressions of, like,
oh, okay.
You know, like, or, like, when he's doing... when he's climbing up the Burj Khalifa and the glove is gone, he like throws it away and then like
yeah,
it's like beside him further up and he just throws this little look like fuck.
I was wondering about that. I was like, it seems
it's
like
funny
kind of
like, and that's like why it's like a cartoon like Brad Bird, like, you know.
I thought that yeah, I thought Cruise was great. I thought that your one was very good.
Sudo.
The diamond lady, yeah, she's great.
Remember her from yes,
Look the Part.
You remember her from The French Dispatch, your favorite movie ever?
Is that the
Wes Anderson,
the one at the start?
Yeah,
the naked one.
The naked one.
Oh.
Perfect female form. She's
she
younger.
Sure is.
Younger, obviously. In
this,
yeah,
it's yeah,
like 10 years younger, but still.
She look great.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say.
It. She
yeah,
great.
Goes without saying. What about Tom Wilkinson?
Who is he?
He's the secretary. Ethan, I've had a hell of a day. The president has initiated ghost protocol.
Oh, your man?
Yeah.
He's great. He was great.
He's dead now. He died.
Is he?
He died like 2 weeks ago or something.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And like all these clips from Michael Clayton
yeah,
going around. It's a movie we will do on the podcast one day.
No, we won't.
We will.
No, we won't.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll never do that movie. How about that?
It's so good, Andy.
Never. Is that the George Clooney
yeah
movie?
And like he is fucking amazing in it.
Seems like a slow procedural
it
thriller.
It absolutely is. It's a thriller.
Okay.
But it's like gripping.
Okay.
Anyway, that scene is great, isn't it? Like
where he's like,
he's like, I am taking you home to
yeah,
be to Virginia to be arrested.
Yeah, but if you should somehow escape.
And he's like, if you were to punch me and Brant in the face, and like Jeremy Renner's like,
what?
Yeah. Like he's good at the comedy
yeah,
as well, where he's like, Benji.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
he's in his like tinfoil suit, like floating along.
Yeah.
The gadgets are good in this too. Like,
I liked as well just on that where he's like, you know, I've always considered you a friend, and if we never see each other again, whatever. And then it's like, just mad, like that was one where we were about watching it. We were like, oh, hello, because
yeah,
it's just like there's a big crash, and then he's just pew,
yeah,
like right in the head. You're like, oh,
it's like
shit,
a South Park headshot, like,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then they have to go to Burj Khalifa, and then they go to India.
I found like the last.
Yeah, like it peaks. This is the thing. Like,
I think it peaks at around the Burj Khalifa,
and it peaks in the Vatican in the
yeah,
third one as well. Like,
and then I kind of thought
they kind of work on it. They figured out maybe less than five, but like six. Like Fallout is like, oh, the last thing is the best thing,
right?
And there's like five really good things before that as
right,
well.
Right. Yeah.
Like I don't think India is bad by any, like I actually love the last bit in the car park where
yeah,
it's like. Again, like Looney Tunes, where it's like the different levels, and he's like, "What?"
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
trying
yeah,
to get the
good, yeah, yeah.
Again, like a cartoon. I think that's so good, but like you say, your man is a bit of a cipher. I like the
yeah,
idea. Maybe this is just the idea I put in my head of like this guy. His whole thing is like he's been in a think tank about like nuclear war for 20 years, and
yeah,
just thinking about nuclear war, you've gone insane. I can't
yeah,
stop thinking about it. Well, it's the only thing. The only thing we can do is cause a nuclear war and see what happens.
That, you know, I kind of found that as well a little bit. Like, I don't want to say I rolled my eyes, but like,
it's always nuclear war.
I was like nuclear launch codes. I was like, I mean, that's like the pulling out of a hat. Like, what's the
what else?
Microchip launch codes, satellite pointed at the White House or something. You know, like, just, it's kind of...
What are you looking for, like?
Just something a little bit off the beaten track, you know? It's always launch codes.
I think there's, like, warheads. Like, what else could you do? There's warheads in another one.
Yeah, you know, like...
There's seven, I'm not going to tell you, but it's a curveball.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
It's not... Well, there might be some, actually, nuclear...
It's like a COVID sort of thing, or...?
No, I look, I might have 10 pages of... background due to COVID
for really?
Seven, but now
is 8 coming out?
8 has been delayed till 25.
Okay,
it was due to be next year, and they were filming the two of them back to back, but because of COVID, they had to like take breaks in between, and I think they're now kind of retooling it, so it could be good.
It feels like none of these movies, production-wise, went smoothly.
The way they do it. Is, and this is what Macquarie has said, is like a lot of the times before they break the script, they will say, Tom is like, I want to fly a helicopter. Or Tom is like, I want to dangle off an airplane.
Yeah.
I want to do this. And they have these things.
Figure it out.
Queued up. And then like Macquarie is such a good screenwriter that he's like, right, well, I'll just fit the story around this. And like,
right.
Going back to one, that was kind of the way. It's ever more present as they go along, like,
right,
but
there's always, so from now on, like, there's always that one big set piece.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Well, this is considered like 4, 5, 6 are like on top of each other in terms of like, oh, they're only getting better and better and better.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? So for you to be like, oh, I kind of like 3 more, it was interesting to hear, and I do like 3 quite a bit, so but like, this is better.
Do you think this is a better one than
3? It is better than 3, yeah.
Okay.
This is way better than 3.
Maybe I haven't seen enough of 3 to give a
like 3 is
opinion.
Good. 3 is really good. But like this, I love this movie. Like this, ooh, is this is one that I just have a big smile on my face the whole time. And even, you know, like all the little bits like where they're at the train and like he's like can't, he's like putting in the code and he's like retina scan Ethan, and he's like can't reach it, and then he, you know, he has to like jump up
and hang on.
Stuff like that. Like all the tech, it's just, you know.
Do you know, I just found with this one, now maybe it was because I was watching it last night and I had to get it watched, so I was watching it all in one and I was fading by the end of it.
Watch it all in one? It's like 2 hours.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's 2 whole hours.
2:05 or something.
Yeah,
like.
It's 2 whole hours, Terry. This day and age, I don't have that sort of attention span. It's actually great when I have to break it up. You know what? And also the fact that it was very late as well when I was watching.
Why do you do this yourself?
I was dozing.
Why you're dozing?
I'm dozing. I watched. I seen it.
Why
are
you doing this yourself? Here's something I want to talk about: the fits in the movie. Just before we wrap it up,
the fits,
the clothes.
He looked great in a suit, in that blue suit.
Nah, I think that's the best he's ever looked, man.
Yes.
Or even though when he's like dressed as the guy, the general.
Yeah.
And then he flips it into like the Bruce Springsteen.
That was great.
And he's like, and he looks like he'd be a Springsteen fan as well. Like,
it was so quick.
Yeah, the jacket rollover. Like,
that was great. I loved that.
So good.
Like, it's, I have no problem. This is the first time since we have switched from Put It In H to a movie podcast that I am looking, apart from the What's So Great About 90s Action, that I have been really looking forward to the next movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I am really enjoying them so far.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed this. I know I'm picking up on the negatives, but it's...
It's a very enjoyable movie.
I could watch these movies
like,
all
what day. Like the bit at the end where your man like kills himself, or I don't know if he survives, you know, he jumps off.
Yeah.
And like... Cruz like gets in the car and he's like, you can see they're like, he's like, right, fuck,
yeah,
okay, I'm really doing this, like,
yeah,
goes
yeah.
down, and then it's like, he's like, mission accomplished,
yeah.
and like nothing happens, he's like banging the button,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
you know, and then they have to do it on their end or whatever,
yeah,
like,
yeah. oh yeah, yeah,
and then like Luther is like, you said that, it's corny as hell, man.
So the whole thing with the car is like, so. If he jumped, he would
died.
Have died.
Yeah.
So he's driving the car off in hopes that when he lands
airbag, man.
Head first, that the airbag will go poof.
And it did, didn't it?
And I was thinking like, well, yeah, your chances would be better.
yeah.
But surely you'd still die.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
like, what I like about these movies, compared to, say, Fast
yeah.
movies, you know, the Fast.
It doesn't defy the laws of physics.
No. It asks you to suspend your belief a little bit.
Yeah.
But quite frankly, Like, Tom Cruise is doing it. He's climbing the Burj Khalifa. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's not a stunt double. It's not CGI or whatever like that. Like, you're not driving a car from the other one across, you know? Like,
true building.
Yeah.
I have to say, there was one bit of really bad CGI in this. Where it was the one where the place blew up after
the Kremlin. The Kremlin.
And it looked so fake. It looked so fake. Two things. One, it looked so fake. I thought that was a wall.
The screen.
I was like, are they getting back at him?
You
or
can't
something?
Blow up the Kremlin, though.
And
really,
I was like, are they getting back at him? Like, by doing their own screen? I was like, oh no, it's just the CGI. And then, because Tom Cruise has a very distinctive run.
Yeah.
But you could tell he's already on a wire when he's running as the stuff is coming towards him. Because it's like Team America. Like the legs were kind of
like. He has the little T-Rex.
I'm watching, I'm like, when's he going to shoot off? Yeah. Like, that's not his run. And like, he's on a wire there.
He didn't get. Like, you see him run. In the fucking
the sandstorm thing. Fucking hauling ass he is. I'm sure that was enhanced to make him look faster, but he looks like he is hauling
that, like, you know,
some serious ass.
Like, one of the most satisfying things in it, at the end when they're in India, he's running to catch Michael Nyquist, and like, he runs and like jumps over a car, like the top of the car, not the bonnet. And I was like, fucking hell, like the athleticism.
He's a fucking marvel.
Alright, give me your Ed Harris
excellence in acting.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with Simon Pegg.
No,
I thought he was, you know, he does his role perfectly. There is not an ounce of fat on his performance.
It's TC for me this time. I thought, like, just a brilliant comedic performance. And also, like, you know, it's a different performance than the last one. He's way more withdrawn in this one. It's like
he's not as cocky, like.
And I think Macquarie has talked about how he's like retrofitted it in this one to be like, everything that happened to you in one has set you on this chain of events of like, you lost your whole team and now you never want to lose anybody again. And like, that's kind of play goes forward way more than that. But like, I don't know, I thought like there was like little looks and shades to him here. I thought he was very good. Have you got your line reading?
No, I can't think. I can never think of that. What do you got?
I mean, I like the Luther. Well, that's corny as hell, man. I also
that'll be $7 million.
You know what? You know what the line reading is. Actually, the best one is the president has initiated Ghost Protocol.
It's a great name. I have to say.
It's like, it means you've disavowed the whole IMF.
Yeah,
you know,
what's the IMF? Impossible Missions Federation.
Impossible Mission Force. If you'd watch the end of three, he says it to when he saves Michelle Monaghan. He's like, I don't work for the Department of Transportation. I work for the IMF. And she's like, what's that stand for? He's like, Impossible Mission Force. She's like, you gotta be kidding me. He's like, what would you give it out of 10?
I would give it a 7 out of 10.
7?
Yeah, that's good.
Oh,
I don't know what
it's a 9 for me, if you're asking.
Not even that far off. Like, 7's fine.
It's an 8 at minimum, Andy. So you tell me it's not a 4-star movie? You're saying it's 3.5 stars?
Yeah, I'd give it 3.5 stars. Sorry. All right, you're spitting on the mic.
I'll do it again. Why don't you tell the good folks where they can find us?
You can find us on Twitter at WSGAPod. And more actively, you can find us on Instagram at What's So Great About Pod.
If you so choose, you can also find us behind the paywall and over on our Patreon for the low, low fee of €5 a month. You get access to all our back catalogues of our previous What's So Great About miniseries. We've got What's So Great About the MCU, What's So Great About 90s Action, What's So Great About Ryan Gosling, and What's So Great About Big Willy's Flops, aka Will Smith's Bad Movies. And we got a bunch of top fives. We got a bunch of just random one-off episodes. Perfect Day, Perfect Festival.
I will say, I know I'm breathing on your fur here, but...
Please.
I
take a drink.
The Patreon is where the first one, the MCU one, is the genesis of the blueprint of this podcast, in that I was kicking and screaming at the start, and slowly, episode by episode, you get to see me, Terry, convert me into a believer. And then same with Ryan Gosling, and a couple of the other series like that, where I was like, you know what, I didn't like it, I went in hating it at the start. Now, some were total disasters, but that made for great episodes, I think. And then we have a bunch of top fives, a bunch of like top five music episodes, movie episodes. We give relationship advice to no one. We've
made each other bespoke playlists as well. That's fun, you know.
We
get giddy, we get silly. It's a good time.
And we usually don't review anything specific. So if you're thinking, oh, I love that show, but I never see the movies they're talking about, well, this is the place for you. That's patreon.com/whatssogreatabout.
There you go. And if you can't afford the €5 a month, well,
you got problems.
Sorry.
You got problems.
Okay. Well, Andy, you know what they can do if they can't support us in that way?
Here we go.
They can give us a rating and review over on your podcatcher of choice. Now, Andy.
Yeah?
In this movie, the guys had a hotel room booked in the Burj Khalifa on the 119th floor, but I don't want a 119 star review.
Silly.
An old 5-star review will suffice, please. Really helps grow the podcast. And you know what? If you have a bit of engagement on the old social media, Andy
loves
that.
Fucking telling me. Sure. Actually, the engagement's been quite good.
Yeah,
lately.
It has been. You've been doing great, guys.
Thank you. We called for it. And you
did. Give us an old share, an old like, tell a friend, tag a friend, all that stuff. We really appreciate it.
I am sick of seeing other podcasts getting shared on stories. Be like, oh, so funny.
When's it our time?
When's it going to be our time? Yeah. Huh?
When's it Clicky's time?
When is it Clicky's time? If you like it, you know, say, hey, these lads are fucking so annoying.
You won't be able to stop thinking about them. Until then, we'll be back next week with the first of the Christopher McQuarrie entries into this, what would you call it?
Franchise?
There you go. That'll do it.
Which one is it?
Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation. We're done with numbers, Andy. It's all about subtitles now.
Oh, we were done as of this one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. This is the first one.
Oh, great.
Yeah, no more numbers.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note, see ya.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I'd go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, boy, ain't love a kick. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick.
Glad to hear you enjoy the solo pod anyway, bud.
I did. Very good. I love listening to it. I love listening to you rambling on about
it. You're going
to
make it a regular thing.
That'd be great.
For the old...
I think that's... Yeah. It's good. Because you've got a good... you're very good at talking by yourself.
You know what I mean? Like, I find I'm like, was that okay? Like, oh, afterwards, yeah. I'm like, was I just waffling out my hole? Like,
and I feel like I was... I had a point where I'm like, geez, he's very comfortable. I was thinking all those radio links really are really
does,
paying
really
off.
Really does, like, blah, 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 blah.
When I do one, like, I'm so self-conscious that, like, I like, stop, like, every few minutes.
I didn't stop once.
I'm like,
nah,
I'll go back.
I didn't stop once. I kind of messed up at the start, and then I was like, right, we'll start again. And then it was like 30 minutes. I was like, what do we got here? Fuck.
Yeah, that was good. Really good. Anyway.
About an hour, we get out of here, 10 past, quarter past.
Park downstairs and everything.
Fucking, well, then we can push to a quarter past.
All right.
Yeah.
I don't really know what to talk about before the pod.
We've got a couple.
I'll just have fun with it.
Yeah.
Ready? In 3, 2, 1, record.
Hello and welcome to...